good to be back in church this morning. Glad to see you. Glad to serve a wonderful Savior.
Yes.
Merciful God. Gracious God.
Jesus is precious this morning. Jesus is precious. You know, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. I do appreciate everybody's prayers. I believe God's looking out for myself and for all of us. And I'm thankful this morning for God's mercy and His grace and His love. So you take your Bibles this morning. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6 here this morning. But before we read, let's go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis 6, and in verse number, verse number 7. The Bible says in Genesis 6, verse 7, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this opportunity this morning, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, just your great love towards us, Father. I thank you, Lord, for watching out for us daily, dear God. Lord, every morning, dear God, your mercies are new. So, Lord, we thank you for them. God, I just thank you, dear God, for just the opportunity to be here, to open up your word, Lord, to serve you, dear God, and to stay faithful, Lord. Help us now this morning. Just lead, God, and direct in all that's said and done. May you just receive all the glory and honor and praise, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It was said earlier to me, or this week, that I might have to preach from a playpen this morning so that I don't hurt myself. You know, listen, now nobody this morning, don't you come up to me and start punching me, okay? Might not be good. I'll try to stay behind a pulpit this morning. I don't think that's possible. We were thinking about putting a fence up or wrapping me in bubble wrap, but I don't think I can do that, you know? Look, God takes care of us when we don't even realize God's taking care of us.
Yes, sir. That's right.
See, God watches over us. Maybe we should put some bubble wrap on the piano. Ellie, I know you're trying to take me out, Ellie, but it's all right there. No, God looks out for us when we're not even looking out for ourselves.
He does.
Just think about your daily lives, brethren. How sometimes we just get in a routine of life and we don't even think about what's going on. And we're doing our thing, yet God's watching out for us and we don't even realize He's watching out for us. I appreciate your prayers. Wednesday was a pretty crazy, Tuesday and Wednesday were pretty crazy days. I went in for a procedure. I'm glad that they caught the blood results before they went any further with the procedure, or else Wednesday could have been a really bad day in a sense. Bad and good, I guess, in certain ways. But God's good. But I think what Wednesday has done for me even more so, before we get into Genesis 6 here, what it's done for me is it's even more persuaded me to live even more for my Savior. Okay, what it's done for me, not that it wasn't there before, but it's kind of renewed me. I'm thankful this morning for what occurred on Wednesday. I'm thankful this morning for what God's putting me through and what I'm dealing with. Because what it's done in a sense is it's sobered me out even more to what really matters in this life. You see, Wednesday when I was driving home from the hospital up there in Wilkes-Barre, I thought they were going to admit me, but they sent me home. And I'm glad I got to go home. I didn't want to spend the night in the hospital. But what it really did for me is to see how close we are to eternity.
Come on.
Look, I didn't realize my platelets were that low when I went in for the operation. Brethren, this is something I've been dealing with now for probably 20-some years. 15 years ago, I had a pretty bad scare with it, but I didn't even know it existed then. And God took care of me, and I just kind of took for granted that you just bruise easy, and that's just the way it is. But what it's done is it's renewed a greater desire in my heart to serve Jesus Christ and to live for Him. And so I come to you this morning with the hopes that you examine yourselves as well and to see if you're really where you need to be with God.
Amen.
And where your commitment level is towards God. not towards me or towards a church, but your commitment level to God. Your commitment level to God, not only here, but also in your own personal lives and your walk with Him. Brethren, we're one step away between here and eternity. And it doesn't matter if we're a one-year-old child or are 99 years old. It doesn't matter. We're all just one step away from crossing over into eternity. And in reality, that's all that matters, is facing eternity and where we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says here in Genesis chapter 6 that God's, in verse 6, it says, "And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart." And we looked last week a little bit how God desires to have a walk with mankind, to have a relationship with mankind. And that's what this life is all wrapped up around, is a relationship with Jesus Christ, walking with him, having fellowship with Him. But it got to the point here in Genesis chapter 6 that the Lord looks down from heaven and God says in verse number 7, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth." And not just man, the Bible says, but both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, "for it repenteth me that I have made them." You see, man in his disobedience, man in his sin, man in his rejection to try to walk with God, not only brings the destruction upon himself, but now he's bringing destruction upon everything a few chapters earlier that God said was good or very good. What did the birds do? Now look, I'm not an environmentalist, so don't get me wrong this morning. Okay? But I believe God cares for the animals.
Yes.
He created them. He created them for His glory and honor. Mm-hmm. Think about this for a moment. If you ever seen some of those deep sea pictures of some of those beautiful creatures that are far down, that have those lights that God's created on them, that are so far down in the sea that nobody ever sees them. Mm-hmm. Other than once in a while, some scuba diver or piece of machinery goes down there and gets pictures and puts it in a National Geographic. Why were those things created? Those things were created because God enjoys beauty in what He's created. Those were for His eyes. Think about all the beautiful fish down there in the Caribbean or around the world that very few people get to go down and experience and see. But that's the beauty of what God's created for Him, to behold His beauty and His creation. Yet the Bible says we've come to a point in the Scriptures to where God, it's grieving Him at His heart because He's having to destroy what He said, like I said earlier, was very good. It was pleasing to His eyes. And now basically, in a sense, He's happened to wipe the slate clean because of the filthiness and the rebellion and the disobedience of man. Man says, "I'll serve myself, I'll worship myself, I'll glorify myself." And what that brings is it brings ruination and destruction, to not only to themselves, but everything that's around them. You see, no man lives and dies to himself. We don't just live and die to ourselves. We affect one another, whether we realize it or not. And God, help us live in the light of that, that we affect and move other situations around. Now, God looks down. He says, "I'm going to destroy this earth, everything that breathes, air." And God goes on the latter part of verse 7 and says, "For it repenteth me that I have made him." God takes no pleasure in having to do this. Take your Bible, if you will, with me this moment, and look at Ezekiel chapter number 18. Ezekiel chapter number 18. God takes no, I don't believe, you know, sometimes Independent Baptists are bad for it. Independent Baptists in particular. I think a lot of Independent Baptists today are the Pharisees of the New Testament. I believe that. I believe Independent Baptists today, not all, I'm not saying all, I'm saying there's a good amount of them, and I've known quite a few, who would like nothing more to bring down destruction and misery upon this world. Almost with the attitude of, "God, give them." And that's not our place. Mm-hmm. That's never our place to have. God help us to never have an attitude of God, get them. No, Bible says, the Lord says, vengeance is mine.
Right.
God says, I'll repay. I'll take care of that. Brethren, as we go through the services today, I pray that God helps us to draw closer to Jesus Christ and be more like him.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, when he came in this world, John chapter 3, he didn't come to bring condemnation to this world. He came to save the world. He came to save sinners. And that's our duty now. We're lambs right now. Now's not the time to be a lion. There will be a day that there's going to come a time to where we're going to be able to be lions. But this is not the time to be a lion. And God here, it grieves him at his heart that he's ready to have to do this thing and have to destroy this world. And I don't believe in Genesis chapter 6 that God's taken great pleasure in it. I believe the Bible shows he's grieved that he's got to do this. But brother, as we realize this morning, God's a holy God and God must do it because he's holy.
Right.
Okay? But he doesn't take pleasure in it. Look at Ezekiel chapter 18 and look at verse number 20. Now, just get the principle. Get the principle of what's being stated here by the prophet concerning this subject matter. Look at Ezekiel chapter 18 and look at verse number 20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. Everyone's going to give an account for themselves. And then the Bible goes on to say, the righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Look what it says in verse 23. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? Here in these short few verses in Ezekiel, the Bible's saying, listen, God takes no pleasure. He says in verse 23, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? The Bible says here in Ezekiel that God, when he looks down on the wicked, though God's got to judge wickedness, God must judge sin because he's a holy God. And sin must be judged. God cannot overlook sin. It's got to be dealt with. But as God is dealing with sin, and though God has to deal with the wicked, the Bible says he doesn't take any pleasure when a wicked man dies. Because God, in his love, realizes the consequences of man rejecting him and doing his own thing, and the payment that this man now has to pay for his sins for all of eternity in a lake of fire. God does not take pleasure that human beings that reject him have to suffer wrath and pain in hell. The Bible says, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? You know what God takes pleasure in this morning? That a wicked man will turn from his wicked ways and turn back to the true God. Not that someone would change their mind, but that they'll turn. Think about this for a moment. Say you got a story here. I'll just pull something out of my head. You have a robber, and he's got a thief, and he's casing out, and he's checking out a place that he's going to go in and hopefully go in and steal something because he's able to have access and see what's in there. And yet the day that he comes to steal or go get what he gets, he realizes that maybe more lights are on that are supposed to be, or he realizes there's more cameras that he didn't take account of, and he changes his mind. But does that mean he's changing his actions? No. He's just not doing it then. He's changed his mind. He's gone back. He hasn't turned from what he was going to go do. God desires not only that we change our mind, but God desires to see a change of action. See, a lot of people might look at repentance as just a change of mind, which is No, there better be also a change and a turning to God from the way that you're going.
Yes, sir.
See, a lot of people, they might change their mind about who Jesus Christ is and doing the same things they're doing. And God says, that's not what I'm looking for. God says, I'm looking for you to do a U-turn and turn to me. Look, when you read through your Bible, brother, that's why it's so important to read through your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. To get the whole picture, not just one little puzzle piece. And the next time you start in the book of Genesis and you start reading through your Bible, I want you to take note of the principle of turning. Of what God desires for us to turn. To turn from our ways, to turn from our thoughts, to turn from our thinking, to turn from our intellect, to turn from our wisdom, and to turn to Him who gives us all things. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and what? Lean not unto thine own understandings. Amen. It's Him. Commit thy works in the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Look, a man might begin to direct his way, but God directs his steps. Brethren, if I can get it across this morning, it is all about His will in our life. If you're saved this morning, it is no longer what you want. It will never be what you want. Now, you can do what you want, but you're not going to have the peace and happiness and security that you desire if you do what you want.
Amen. That's right.
Brethren, this morning, it's not a matter of where I want to live today. Where does God want me to live? If you're saved, it's not a matter of what kind of job I want. What does God want me to do? If I'm saved today, it's not a matter of what does God desire in my life? And then may I do what God's asking me to do? That's where it's at. I believe this as a saved individual. I believe God would have you be in a local church. I believe that as sure as I'm standing here. And that God would have you to link up and throw you 100% behind that local church, behind the brethren, behind the pastor for the glory of Jesus Christ. Where is that at for you? Where is that at for me? Because I believe if you're saved, there is a place that God wants you to be planted. And planted for this purpose, that you will grow and flourish in the things of God and produce fruit to His glory. Yeah. But you gotta find out where God wants you and what God wants you to do. You see, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked that he should die. But the Bible says in chapter 18, verse 23, the latter part says, "Say, Lord God, and not that he should return." Return from what? From his ways and live. You see, the people back there in Genesis chapter 6, they're not willing to turn from their ways, and their ways are ways of violence. And they're not willing to turn except for one man. That's a righteous man, and that's Noah. And Noah was perfect. He was a just man. He was a righteous man. And Noah did all he could do to try to live for God. And God ends up delivering Noah, and Noah finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. Take your Bible and stay in the same chapter here in Ezekiel, and look down at verse number 30. Look at verse number 30, same chapter. And look what the Lord continues to go on and say here in this book. "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God." Look what the word says here again. "Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin." Here again, that principle, repent and turn. Repent and turn. Turn from your ways, turn from your wickedness, turn from your sin, and turn and place your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
Most people today, most Christians today won't let sinners get to the point to realize they're sick and that they need to turn from them and turn to God. Mm. All is principle. You say a preacher, well, you're in the Old Testament. No, my friend, the principle is all through the scriptures. What God desires is for man to turn from himself and turn to the one that created him. Take your Bible. Look on verse 31. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Look what it says in verse 32. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Well, here it is again. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. You know what the problem was? I'm going to say this morning, brethren. You know what kind of book? I'm so thankful for my King James Bible.
Yes, sir.
I love my Bible. I love it. Wednesday I got home, and brethren, I'm so thankful for what occurred to me on Wednesday. It's like, Lord, just put a few more things in my mind. Say, Chris, let's get this purged out of your life. Let's get a little closer to me. And I thank God for it. I thank God that I got sick. I thank him for it because it's drawing me even closer to him, and I love it.
Amen.
We were out there Saturday. Street preaching. I said, God, thank you for this beautiful day, this opportunity to tell people about Jesus Christ. We got a chance to talk to a few people. Please keep Wally in prayer. And it was a blessing. I said, God, thank you that I could wake up this morning. Dear God, thank you, dear Lord, I can come out here and just tell someone about Jesus Christ.
Hey, amen.
And I said, Lord, just help me to grow even closer to you, Lord. Lord, help me to even hug you even more than I used to do before, God. Why? Because he's worthy of it this morning, brethren.
Amen.
We serve a precious Savior.
Yes,
there's none like Jesus Christ, amen, my friend. There is none like Jesus. None. He's glorious this morning.
Yes, amen.
And I'm so thankful that I'm here this morning. I'm so thankful that I got a precious book that I can read, and I can eat it, and I can spend time in it, and I can fellowship with him through his words for me today.
Amen.
But brethren, God takes no pleasure to the wicked. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye, the Lord says. Take your Bible, look at chapter 33, same book, Ezekiel 33. Look what the Bible says in Ezekiel 33, verse number 10. I told Brother Glenn, come on out there, and Brother Jim, come on out there. Thank you, brothers, for coming on out. I told them, I said, listen, I'd rather die on that street corner than sitting up in my bedroom.
Amen. Yeah.
I'd rather die behind a pulpit preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ than sitting at home worried about something.
Glory.
There's no better way to go home than preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ or doing something for the Lord.
Amen.
Being about some type of good work and the Lord calling you home out of here. Glory to God, what a way to go home.
Amen.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? You're doing something good for somebody in the name of Jesus Christ, and the Lord says, that's good, I see it, I love you, and I'm calling you home now, son. I'm calling you home now, daughter. You're doing my work now. Now it's time to come home and rest. Glory to God.
Amen.
No better way to go home.
Amen.
Ezekiel 33, look at verse number 10. Ezekiel 33, verse 10. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how shall we then live? Say unto them, look, God says this, he tells Ezekiel, he says, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, here it is again, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked, here it is again, turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Brethren, I'm just giving, we're not even a few verses here in Ezekiel, and this principle of God desiring for us to turn. Let me ask you this question. If you're saved this morning, is there something that God's working in your life that he wants you to turn from? I'm talking if you're saved. You see, I don't care if you get up to 104 years old. God, if you're still here, God's trying to grow you.
Yeah.
God's trying to grow you. And is there something in your life that God's just been talking to you about for a while? And God say, listen, I want you to turn from that. I want you to turn from that, and I want you to turn to me, and I want you to get even closer to me. You see, this book right here, brethren, this is a Jewish book. From Genesis to Revelation, it's Jewish. We're just blessed to get in on it as Gentiles. You see, there's three groups right now in this world. There's Jews, there's Gentiles, and then there's the church. If you're not a Jew and you're not a born-again believer, that's everybody else in the world. I don't care if you're from Asia. I don't care if you're from Africa. I don't care if you're from Russia, South America. You're a Gentile.
Right.
Jew-Gentile church. And God came to the Jews. And we got this book because of the Jewish people.
Right.
And look what the principle, look. The Jews represent a physical nation, a physical people that God chose out for him, for his glory, and to promote the true God. They dropped the ball. They had a physical land. Someday they're going to have a physical king, Jesus Christ, and also David. And they're going to have a physical land. They're going to have a physical capital, which will be in Jerusalem. And God will dwell with them on a physical earth. But we now represent the spiritual side. We have a spiritual king, same king, Jesus Christ, a spiritual kingdom and a spiritual work. But we find you can often take the principles that you find in the physical realm and apply them to the spiritual realm. And so though we may look at something in the Old Testament, you can pull principles out of that that I don't think change when it comes into the New Testament and a new birth. God desires for us to consistently, daily, to turn from our own reasonings, our own thinking, how we think it. And God desires for us to wake up every morning and say, Lord, Lord, not my ways today, dear God. Not my thoughts today. Dear God, I got to go to work. Lord God, I got to wake up this morning, Lord. I got to go to work, and I got to do this today, dear God. And maybe I got to go take my car and get the oil changed. And God, there's these things that I got to do today. I got to go food shopping. And God, you know I got to live. But God, Lord, as I begin this day, Lord, help me now, Lord, to be able to take interruptions as you interrupt me. Because God, this day is your day. And Lord God, help me not to get so caught up on what I got to do in my schedule. Lord, help me to be willing to be interrupted, to do your work first.
It'll help you right there.
See, yes. Once you're saved, that is paramount, doing the will of God.
Amen.
Now, don't get me wrong. If you got to have jobs, I get that. You got to go grocery shopping, I get that. And you got to go do certain things, I get that. But through it all, be ready for the interruptions. And look at them as appointments from God.
That is good.
God, help me not to miss any appointments today that you want me to be at.
Yeah.
Amen.
Take your Bible and look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Say, preacher, why are you going over these things when we're in Genesis chapter 6? Because I believe God was grieved in his heart that his own creation wouldn't turn to him, the creator. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and look at verse number 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and look at verse number 3. Look at the heart of God. Look at the heart of God this morning, my brethren. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable. In who? In the sight of God, our Savior. So what we're about to read next is good in the eyes of God, and it's acceptable in the eyes of God, our Savior. What is good and acceptable in the eyes of our God, of our precious Savior? Who will have what? A-double-L men to be saved. Not just some men, not just some predestinated a group of people. Who will have, I'm not smart this morning, who will have all men to be saved, and then once they're saved, to what? And to come unto the knowledge of the truth.
That's right.
Now, what is truth? Well, we know quite a few things in the Bible are truth. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth.
Yes.
Is this King James Bible the truth and word of God? I believe it is. I believe this morning that I have the full counsel of God in my hand. I believe that I have everything that I need to live the life that God wants me to live for His glory and honor. I don't think I'm lacking anything. I think God has provided everything that I need so that I can do those things that are be pleasing in His eyesight. He's given me the book, He's given me His spirit, and He's given me the ability to walk with Him. Mm-hmm. So that's truth. The Bible says Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is truth. The Holy Spirit is truth, and He bears witness to truth.
Yes.
Okay? So, the Bible
says here in 1 Timothy 4,
chapter 2, verse 4, who have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, we're going to get to it today, at some point today, Lord willing, if you all keep coming to church, we're going to get to this point today. God desires for us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, this is why the Gospels are so important. You've got to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because that's where we learn of Jesus. We learn how He walked. We learn how He talked. We learn what He put the emphasis on. We learn how He dealt and communicated with the Father and did the Father's will. And thus, when the Bible says to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we need to be more and more and more conformed to the image of Him. How He walked, how He talked, and what He put the emphasis on. Not what some internet preacher or pastor or church is or denomination or religion is putting the emphasis on. What did Jesus talk about? How did Jesus conduct Himself? And what did Jesus go about doing but good works? Read through Titus. Titus is a short book in the Bible. And see how many times the word good works is found in there. Be about good works. Maintain good works. Good works, good works, good works. Not to be saved, but because you are saved.
Amen.
Good works. That's what the Lord puts the emphasis on. And to be about His business, who have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth. How are men going to see a difference in us? But by our good works. When we handle ourselves right, when the world expects us to handle ourselves wrongly, that speaks volumes to a lost world. We're not to react like the world reacts to things, brethren. We're to react how Jesus reacted. Think about this morning. Now, brother, I'm not going to do that. But Jesus said this, boom, boom, somebody smacked you one cheek. What are you to do? Turn the other. But how many independent Baptists are like, you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. You said something about me, I'm going to say something to you. That's not how Jesus walked. And you say, well, that's the Old Testament. No, there's a principle. Don't throw the principle out. Jesus turned the other cheek. And God expects us to turn the other cheek. Because when someone lashes out at you at the grocery store, they're looking for you to lash back out at them. But when you don't lash back out at them and reciprocate back to them what they've given to you, you're going to get them to scratch their head. And that tract that you might give them might carry 10 times more the weight because you didn't act like them when they expected you to act like them.
That's good.
And that's how they see Jesus.
Man, that's good. Yep.
Look, God expects us to live so that people see Jesus. Hear me this morning. We have God manifested in our flesh. You know what godliness is? That's God manifested in the flesh. And if you're saved, Christ is now in you. You are now in Christ, and you can now manifest God in your flesh. I'm not saying you're God. Don't take me wrong this morning. I'm saying you have the ability now to bring sin into subjection, to put off the old man, to put on a new man, to be renewed in your mind and your heart and your spirit, and to walk and talk and act like your Savior did. you now have the ability to represent Jesus Christ on this planet. Are we doing so this morning? Are we representing our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth? Take your Bible, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 9. Look what the Bible says here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look what the Bible says in verse number 9. For they themselves show of what manner of entering in we had unto you. Here's this principle again found in the book of Ezekiel, found now here in the New Testament. How ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Take your Bible, look over at Acts chapter 14, verse 15. Acts chapter 14, and I want you to look at verse number 15, Acts 14, 15. Look what the Bible says here. Acts 14, 15. Paul and Barnabas just had healed a man that was lame in his legs, and they're trying to do honors and magnify Paul and Barnabas because of the miracle that the Lord worked through them. And look what Paul says to them in Acts chapter 14 and verse number 15. And saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should, look, here's the principle again, turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their, look what the Bible says, own ways. Nevertheless, he hath left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, fulfilling our hearts with food and gladness. Paul preaches to them and says, listen, you need to turn from your ways and turn from your vanities unto who? The living God. Take your Bible. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. The Bible says here, Second Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. Look what the Bible says here. The Bible says here, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But look what the Bible says. But is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again, we see this principle that God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. God does not take pleasure in men that suffer and die and reject him. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. Now, when we look back at Genesis chapter 6, verse number 8, we see and we find that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Look back over there at Genesis chapter 6, real quick as we finish up this morning. So God's in his position to where he's going to destroy the earth with water. He's got to destroy both man and beast and creeping things and the fowls of the air. And it's repenting the Lord that he's having to do this. It's grieving him. I believe it's causing sorrow within his heart. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But yet, God's got to do this because he's holy. But we find a good thing here in verse number 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How could one man, I believe, among hundreds of thousands of people, if not a million people, I believe there was a lot of people living on the planet at this time. Noah had access to Enos. Take your Bible real quick and flip over to chapter number 4 and look at verse 26. I think it was like 215 years. I could be wrong. I got to double check that. But Noah very well could have known Enos. Look at Genesis 4, verse 26. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. It makes me wonder if Noah not only had access to Enos, but also Enoch. Look at Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And then here we find in Genesis chapter 6 that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And look at verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. All right? So I believe those two men that preceded Noah, I believe they had a good influence on them. I believe Enos and both Enoch, Noah, got the message, and Noah says, you know what? Though all the world's forsaking God, the Creator, the true God, I'm going to walk in the line and in the wisdom and the guidance that's passed down from Adam to Seth to Enos to Enoch, and I'm going to walk with God. And not only did he just walk with God, he walked with God in a perfect way. He was a just man. The Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. If we go on further in chapter 6, we're going to see that he's called a righteous man. Noah just went about doing right. And that's what we're called to do, brethren, especially now that we're saved. God's called us to just do right. Noah, brethren, think about it. Think of how, I'm almost done. I'll probably close with this point right here. Think of how accountable we're going to have to be before God someday as saved individuals. This should sober us out this morning. Noah was not born of the Spirit. Enoch was not born of the Spirit. Enos was not born again. He wasn't translated from darkness to light. He did not have the new birth. Now, did they have influence of the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. But they were not born again like we're born again today.
That's right.
They did not have Christ dwelling within them and them dwelling within Christ. Christ Jesus had yet to make the atonement. And these men, Enos, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, Elijah, Elisha, Deborah, Abigail, I mean, the list goes Samuel, the list goes Jeremiah, Isaac, the list goes on and on of men and women who served God mightily without the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. How much more are we going to be held accountable that have the new birth?
Yes, sir. All right.
That should sober you out a little bit.
Right.
I think we're going to have more to be accountable for someday before the Lord. Because not only do we have the new birth, we have the whole counsel of God.
That's right.
Brethren, Noah did not have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Noah had chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What did Noah have? He had a walk with God.
Right.
He had a conscience. And what the light he was given, he walked in it with the utmost 100% trying to follow it and live for the true God. And God saw that. And God, the Bible says, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. You see, God's watching us this morning. And he's seen if we're serving him with our true heart, all of our heart, the whole heart. And that principle is found from Genesis to Revelation as well. The whole heart. That's what God wants. He wants all of you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, help us to walk in the light of these things. Help us to walk in the light of these principles, dear God. Lord, help us, dear God. Lord, as your Holy Spirit bears witness to these truths in each one of our lives, dear God, I pray we wouldn't just sweep it under the rug, but Lord, that we would take heed to that still small voice, Lord. And Lord, if you're trying to reach us this morning, Lord, if you're trying to call in on our soul, dear Lord, help us to answer that phone. Lord, help us to answer that call. And Lord, help us to live lives of faith that bring glory and honor to the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So Lord, help us now as we go forward to serve you with our whole heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and to love you as you loved us. So Lord, we'll ask you for your help now